what can I do to move the needle? You know what I mean? Mm. You can't get rich and feel fulfilled in a comfort level, in a comfort zone. You can enjoy that shit for a minute, but you've got to be so aware that you're going to be like, hey, it's go time, right?
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 143 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What's up?
Guys, today we want to talk about the process of getting rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty fun topic, but unfortunately not a lot of people like to talk about the process. I guess a lot of people, they don't mind
talking about it. They want to know the process, but they don't want to do the process.
Yeah, exactly. The process of getting rich.
Yeah.
And the main word is process.
Yeah.
Right? You can't kind of jump over that or move around that. You know, it is what it is, and mm-hmm. it is what it'll always be.
There are shortcuts, but there's no way around the shortcuts. The shortcuts are the hard fucking work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The shortcut is surround yourself with amazing people, do the work, and delay gratification, and hopefully you arrive one day. And we appreciate you guys
episode
tuning
over.
In. Yeah, we appreciate you tuning in to episode. No, we could to a certain extent. But no, like, here's the deal. So it's just been kind of a weird day, you know. There's been a couple people that work with us here that have came up to me and talking about a few different things. One situation was, and again, we came up with this topic literally, I'd say about 3 minutes ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like every other podcast, you know, but there's always something to talk about because we're always dealing with something, right?
Right.
There's always something new.
That's the value of
it is what it is.
That we're still in the grind, right?
Yeah.
We're not
so far removed from, you know, operating a business that we just kind of forgot about what it takes or forgot about the process or, you know, we're still rubbing shoulders with all of the people that show up every single day to help move the company forward. And so we have pretty good relationships, I would say, for the most part, with a large majority of them, especially ones that have been around a long time. Obviously, we're slowly replacing ourselves and putting some management and some other leadership in place. So, you know, there's obviously some new faces here and there that we don't really know, and we got to go up and shake a hand and introduce.
I felt a little guilty at the Christmas party. There's probably 25% of the room. I don't even know their names, you know? And, like, we've always just been a tight-knit family, right?
Yeah,
so I'm like, man, this feels weird. Should I be, like, excited about that? Like, cool, that means we're growing. Or should I be, like, guilty? Like, I've been putting the effort into, like, getting to know these people, right? And I still need to be better at it. Bought all the girls flowers yesterday. Because it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, by the time, it wasn't random. Even though randomly it'd be nice, but still, Valentine's, it was still
a nice
I
want them to know I appreciate them because, I can't get to know all of them with the way that I've, the path I've been on. Like, mm-hmm. not that I can't. It's just going to take a little more time because I'm out in the field a lot, man. Yeah. Like, I am not in the office near as much as I used to be. So to come in today and see some of these newer faces I really don't know yet, pulling Trevor aside, and you can tell when you walk up on a conversation when it's like a deep one, like,
when it's intense. Right? Yeah.
And then I butted my nose in on the other one I saw because you had two today. And I was like, okay, no, like, she's a newer girl. I just wanted to, like, kind of peek in and see what was going on. Plus, I needed to talk to you. And I heard her say a couple things, right? Like, I thought this was just going to be another job, and I realized, and she was on the verge of getting fired from what I heard, right? Because she's had some things go on, and she missed work and all this stuff. I don't know if she's getting fired or something, but I heard something say she might not work out or something, right? Because she had stuff going on. I heard her saying, opening up to Trev, you know, I thought this was just going to be another job, right? Like, just, but I know I'm meant to do bigger shit. Like, and I realized after hearing you guys talk, like, holy shit, this is like, the universe knows I've been wanting more in my life. And here I can be in this company that, like, really promotes growth. And, like, you know what I mean? That's what mm-hmm. she was saying in a roundabout way. Like, I don't want to mess this up. And so hearing that is kind of cool, man, because that's really, truly what we have. And one of the not secrets, but one of the processes of getting rich is building a culture where you want everybody to get rich. You want to raise up everybody. You want to elevate everybody, right? And so to hear someone that's really only been here like maybe 6 months, if that,
saying 4 months, maybe
saying like, I feel like I walked into a unicorn company that like, I could have a career here. Like I could hit all my goals here. Like, I don't want to screw this up. Give me another chance. Like that meant something to me. Right. I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like we've heard that over the years, especially from our guys that have been here a long time, but like to hear someone new already identify that, like this company's different. That's badass.
No, yeah. I mean, it was cool. It was cool that she was able to identify that. And what you guys need to understand, and in some of the conversations that I've had today, you know, one was, hey, when is the right time to move out? You know,
move out of mom's house?
Yeah. And get your own place, right? Yeah. We have a couple of people that are
17,
young.
16.
That's for Kel. if your name is Kel and you have children at 17 or 18, yes, move out and start providing for your children. You made a choice.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what Kel did. And here he is. So if you're not Kel, don't do that because it might not work out that way.
Yeah.
But with that said, and I said it just depends on the situation. Okay, it just depends on the situation. I said, you want to understand the process of getting rich? It's about delaying gratification. I said, if you're living in a place that's destroying your mental health, let's say your parents are just beating you down, mm-hmm. or whoever it is that's beating, a roommate, it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
That's not good for your mental health. So therefore, if you have to make a premature jump to something else, even though if you're not 100% ready, it's going to serve you long-term to remove yourself from a negative situation that will ultimately put you in a better situation mentally. And if you're in a better situation mentally, you're going to eventually get into a better situation financially, mm-hmm. right? And I said, so it really just depends on the situation. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. And I said, but what you need to understand is it's all about delayed gratification. If the sole reason why you are trying to move out is purely for independence, and you have a pretty good setup with what you have going on, delay gratification. I said, this is a perfect opportunity for you to flex a little discipline. And even if you can do it, not do it, delay it for 6 months or a year, save money, come up with a number that you want. I want at least 10 grand in the bank or whatever that is before I move out of the house. Now you can reward yourself for working hard, saving that money, putting yourself in a situation where when you move out, it's not a financial strain for you. It's easy for you to move out, right? Most people, right the second when they can move out, they move out and it's a financial strain. Then they get caught living paycheck to paycheck for the rest of their life.
True.
And they move out, they get that they rent that room. But the second they start making a little bit more money at work, they look at buying their own house. So the second they can afford their own house, what do? They go buy the first house. Then what they do after that, the second they can get that new car, they buy that new car,
mm-hmm.
right? So every single time we have an opportunity to kind of advance or gain, we hold ourselves back by immediately rewarding ourselves for something that we could have today,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you reward yourself with something that you could have today, but you're taking away from something that you could have that would be greater later down the road, right? So every decision that you make is either serving you right now with where you sit today financially, or it's serving you where you want to be in 5 or 10 years. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those are the two options. Is this serving my future self? Yes or no. Is this serving me today? Yes or no.
Yeah.
And most often, if it's serving you today, right now, it's probably not a good decision. You're reacting in a reaction that's instant gratification. You just want to move out and have independence. You don't need it because you're in a healthy environment right now. What you need to do is focus on putting yourself in a situation that other people aren't in, which is ultimately saving up a chunk of money prior to making new financial commitments.
Right.
Okay.
And being disciplined with
it. So that was kind of the first conversation, right? And I said, here's the deal. You know, the whole, you know, $750 a month townhouse piece of shit over there at Hawk Hollow, that I lived at for a minute, the Lancer, and I said, there was a lot of things I could have had when I was making $100,000 a year and I chose to drive a $3,000 car. I chose to live in a $750. Mm-hmm. Did that serve me in that moment? No, because my surroundings environment was completely garbage. The shit on the carpet was stained and my daughter had to crawl on that shit, you know? So she made sacrifices too. Shout out, Claire. Thanks for doing that. You know, shit like that, right? And so But I said, I was making sacrifices for a greater future.
Yeah, we still are.
And I said, I am now in that greater future, but I still live by that same principle today.
It's true.
I said, me and Kel, we make a large chunk of money.
Yeah.
You know, we make seven figures on an annual basis. And I said, my only payment is $1,300 a month.
Yeah.
And I said, the principle for me hasn't changed.
It's true.
Now, the income has changed, but I'm still delaying gratification for a greater future. The investments that we make,
mm-hmm.
you know, the new one that we're going to send out another $250,000 with here within the next, you know, couple
day or
days.
Two. Yeah. Well,
that is... We could serve ourselves today.
Dude, we still don't drive crazy ass cars. Like, I drive a freaking Toyota Avalon. You know what I mean? Why? Because we want a jet.
Yeah.
Cool. That buys us time back with our families, right? And it gets us to be able to scale the business even quicker, you know? So it's like, you just got to like look at the whole situation. Sucks. It's like, you know, I could go buy my dream car, which I actually might. I found one online that I want my dream car, but I'm going to sell some shit to get it.
Yeah, well, you know, give and take, right?
But it's a restored muscle car. It's not like a $350,000 Lamborghini or a $400,000 Lamborghini. You know what I mean? It's an $80,000 1970 Super Sport Chevelle. It's been in my phone. I've showed you that maroon one a lot of times over the years. I found a black one. It's cherry, dude. Anyway, we won't get off on that tangent. But I might buy my dream car. Yeah, that's literally my dream car,
but
bro.
But you've been in the game for 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
You could have bought your dream car 5 years ago, if you really wanted to. I mean, how many of the other homies have we seen get rich, go broke, get rich, go broke, get, you know what I mean? And we've just kind of done this, and then, you know, like we just live this same life.
Yeah.
Even though our income has increased greatly, you cannot tell externally that our income has increased greatly. And then all of a sudden people will be like, oh, you guys must be doing, no, we've been doing good for a long time, motherfucker.
Yeah.
We just show that we're doing good now. And what we're showing you now is not what we could have.
Yeah.
What we're showing you now is still delayed gratification on other things that we're going to have.
You know what feels weird, though, is when people, like dudes I was meeting with this morning or dudes we're meeting with at Kent's event shit that we know are doing like nine figures and up, and they're like, you guys are crushing it, huh? I'm like, no. But then some people, it's like, yeah, we're kind of crushing, you know? Yeah, like,
what does that mean?
No, we're not crushing.
What's crushing to you?
Yeah.
we would be considered poverty level, depending on who you... Elon Musk don't want our situation. That's a fact. But I would say, you know, 99% of others probably would, right? So it's all relative to...
But there's levels.
The environment.
There's levels to it. And it's like... Honestly, it's not about a certain number. It's about the fulfillment of constantly growing. And I'd be lying if I said we never hit like comfort levels, right? We've never like, hey, we're doing pretty good, right? Yeah. We're doing good, right? And you, when you start saying that, you start getting a little bit comfortable.
Sure.
And I would say that's one of the things that you can put in the process of getting rich is, dude, you have to become self-aware of that shit. Like, if you were living pretty good at 150,000 and then boom, you're making $500,000, you've got to be able to say, dude, I'm getting comfortable. That's not good. What can I do to move the needle? You know what I mean? Mm. You can't get rich and feel fulfilled in a comfort level, in a comfort zone. You can enjoy that shit for a minute, but you've got to be so aware that you're going to be like, hey, it's go time, right? And that's one of the nice things about being in those rooms. Like those dudes doing nine figures saying, you guys are crushing it, right? Because we look like we're crushing it to them because, you know, whatever it is, the podcast or the things that we're, you know, projecting out and the things that we're doing and the business is scaling and, you know, we're getting seen a lot more. When you're getting seen a lot more, your perception is that you're crushing it. But it's like, bro, I'm not crushing it to your level, but I'm glad that I'm around you and you think I'm crushing at your level because that inspires me to break through my comfort zone that I'm in right now or this comfort streak that I'm on or whatever it is, right? Like, dude, that shit helps me, bro, because sometimes we are unaware of it and it takes something like that to be like, well, I don't know, dude. I kind of want to be doing $200 million a year like you, right? And so when you're saying like, dude, you're crushing it, aren't you? And I have to be honest with myself and say, not at your level, but the fact that you see in me that I can, that fuels me, right? And the fact that you feel like I'm at your level is fucking badass. That fuels me to want to get to your level, you know? So that shit kind of helps you, I guess, identify when you're in a comfort level because it's really easy to get comfortable when you're paying yourself a couple mil a year or whatever, right? It's pretty easy to get comfortable. I can have almost anything I want.
Yeah.
So do I got to want more shit? Yeah, I kind of do, but...
yeah, I mean... For me,
legacy again, shit for me. No, bro.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. Like, really, what? Why are you playing the game? Mm-hmm. That's really something people need to identify. Because if you don't identify why you're playing the game, you will get lost in the process of success. And the process of success basically is a lot of youngsters are falling into fuck. A lot of just regular ass people, just in general, are falling in this trap.
Mm-hmm.
Society says success looks like this. And like this, and like this. It's Gucci. It's fucking Porsches. It's fucking mansions. Mm-hmm. It's a that's just, you know, what's for me, true success is making sure that my family's good first and foremost, right? Like, what we have, we own what we have, not what we have owning us, right? We've all heard that old saying, right? And so, like, Kel's exactly right. Look, dude, I mean, I had seven figures just sitting in the bank. Like, just in the $1 million in the bank, right? But at the same time, you say that and you say that over and over and over, you're going to start getting comfortable. Like, okay, well, what's the point of continuing to push? Because I look around my surroundings. One, my environment hasn't changed. So I have all this money, but yet I still live in the same house I bought before I ever made $100,000.
Yeah.
You know, that I bought for $250,000.
Right.
So I'm like, the only thing that's changed in 10 years is my truck. Literally. Which,
that was just last year.
Yeah. And I, you know, so if you have money in the bank and your environment's not changing, you can kind of start getting demotivated a little bit. That's why I've been looking at acreage and a house and, you know, kind of doing something a little bit differently to give that to my family, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I want to be able to own that and pay that and have that paid off cash, which is, I closed on that shit today, right? And so we get access to that property. But I wouldn't have had the ability to do that if I went from a $250,000 house and then 3 years later, right when I could get $500,000, I jumped there.
Yeah.
And then half, and now I can do $1 million. I jumped there 2 years later. Then from $1 million to $1 million, then I would just continue to play this success game that a lot of people play, trying to compete against everybody else and the neighbors and this and that, keeping up with the Joneses type bullshit. You know, we already talked about lapping the Joneses a lot funner than keeping up with them. But what it takes to lap is delayed gratification, right? So I have the ability to buy properties and pay for them cash based upon the fact that I've delayed gratification for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
The average individual is not willing to do that. We live in the Instagram lifestyle, Insta gratification lifestyle. Look at me. I'm super cool.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous how many people I see drive, you know, $100,000 trucks, $80,000 SUVs, that I know for a fact struggle to make those payments.
Right.
Like, struggle to make those payments. But yet, on the outside, everything looks good.
Mm-hmm.
We know, we got homies that were, you know, living a grand life, 10,000 square feet or 15,000 square feet homes, and then eventually something just minor happens in their business or something major happens in their business. There, you got to get rid of your house now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have a lifestyle to where what you have is you own outright no matter what happens in your business? Of course, you should always strive for more.
Yeah.
You should always strive for more. Why have 3 acres when I can have 30? Why have 30 when I can have 300 acres?
Yeah.
You know, like that. Like, what we should always. What can that
do, right? Like, every one of your children can't build their own little freaking badass spot on your 3 acres, correct, but they could on your 30 or 300.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. So it's just because you own shit, but at the same time, paying for that. And being broke,
yeah,
feels good.
It does, bro. It's so good. Weird how your perception, you know, of it changes. Like, mm-hmm, you spend your program to think this too, from the school system, your parents, everything, that it's like, save your money, save your money, save your money, right? Yeah. And it's like, you want to be a millionaire, you save $1 million. Nah.
I did
it. You buy fucking assets, bro. I promise you, it's not that
cool. And I have a picture in my phone of the statement. If you know, send a DM. It fucking looks cool, but it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I can't live on that.
Dude, I love being, you know? I love being a millionaire in assets, bro, that fucking pay me every month. Investments, investment properties, businesses that we've reinvested into over and over and over again, which is another process of getting rich, dude. You know, even before I could go out and start buying investment properties and building that legacy shit now that I'm doing as we speak, is like, bro, we put a lot back into our business. I don't think people realize when they're stuck at these ceilings in their business, and they're like, man, I can't break through. It's because you suck with your money.
Yeah.
But when you can actually make sure that you've got the profit, and instead of paying you, you can dump it back in to figure things out, you're going to fail, dude. Some of your marketing endeavors or ideas, they're not as good as you think they are once you actually throw money at them. And if that's going to break the bank, that means you got a damn problem, because you're going to go through three or four times before you actually find that golden goose. It's like, okay, this is working. This is going to give me the ability to scale my business, right? And that's just marketing. That's not all the people, the recruiting, the hiring, the firing, the, you know, everything that it takes to run your business, right? Like, you're going to throw money at shit and be wrong. So you better be damn good at padding your business before you pad yourself.
Fact.
Yes.
That's a fact. And secondly, you kind of have to operate your business in a manner of where you're going, not where you're at. And what that basically means is, even if you're not necessarily ready for a CEO or COO or whatever it is, but if you know for a fact that you're going to need that based upon where your goals are and where you're trying to go, guess what? You're going to have a fat payroll for somebody to come in and run your ops, your operations. Guess what? If you're doing a $5 million a year in your business and you want to do $10 million a year in business, you're going to have to hire the $10 million caliber type of person.
You ain't going
to
do it with the $80K a year. It's going to take you a couple hundred G's.
So what are you doing today to prepare yourself for scalability? And the only thing that we did, the reason why we run circles around you motherfuckers, the only reason why we run circles is damn sure not because we're smarter than you.
Nope.
That's a fucking fact. You want to put whatever I didn't even know what GPAs against each other. I guarantee you, mine and Kel's combined would probably equal yours. So that's a fact as well.
Okay? 2.0 combined.
Yeah. Between me and Kel, we're one smart motherfucker. 2.0 plus 2.0, we're 4.0 when you put us together.
Trakel 2.0.
Yeah. 4.0, dude. T units 2.0, the kilo G's 2.0. So dude, with our powers combined.
It really is, though.
It's the fact that we saved a lot of money. That's
we're
why
fearless
we
fearless to spend it
correct.
On the business.
Correct.
Not on the shit that gets the eyeballs. Like, attention's important in a marketing faucet.
Sure.
But, like, spend it on the shit that it's going to take.
The non-sexy
coaches,
shit.
Higher level the employees, the, shit. You know, best HR company, you know, like everything, bro.
All of it. Yeah. All of it. That's the only reason why we run circles around people is because we were able to pay ourselves. So let's say, for instance, we're making $250,000 a year, but we could pay ourselves $500,000 a year. We just kept paying ourselves $250,000, $250,000, $250,000 year after year after year after year after year after year until we had millions of dollars. And I'm not saying a million. I'm talking about millions of dollars, which put us in the situation to where we can be like, yeah, fuck it. Let's throw $100,000 at that.
Yeah.
Let's see if it works. Yeah. Fuck it. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? So we can take way greater risks than 99.9% of you listening right now. Why? Because we insulated ourselves from risk by stacking cash over a fucking decade.
Yeah.
It took fucking decade to have what we have in the bank.
Yeah.
And we sacrificed 10 years of our life in order to put ourselves in the situation where we both know the next 2 years are going to be probably the most meaningful years of our life that will determine how our life ultimately ends up. Why? Because one, we got the fucking eyeballs. We got the attention on us now. The big dogs know who the fuck we are. Boom, check.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got the money in the bank. Why? Because we've sacrificed the last 10 years. Check. You know, we're doing it's time for shit to explode.
Yeah.
And we have access to the gasoline, and the gasoline, the fuel is the money.
Yeah.
We have the money. We're going to dump it. We're going to dump it on our business, and we're going to make this thing fucking explode.
Right.
We already know what we need to do. We're dumping money here. We're dumping money here. This next year, these next 2 years, we're dumping money all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay. The idea is, can you, can you do that?
Yeah.
Probably not with where you're sitting right now. Why? Maybe that car you're listening to this podcast in is a little too much for where you're at.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. That truck. Sure, it looks cool when you pull up to the construction site and all the other construction guys have $100,000 trucks and y'all look badass. Cool. Like, I get it. Everyone needs a tax write-off so they run and buy a fucking expensive-ass car, right? Well,
they justify it because they think it changes their perception as far as the level they're at of in success. Business, and they think that higher-level business will now want to hire them. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a contractor rolling up in a $100,000 truck versus a dude rolling up in a $20,000 truck, I am going to talk myself into the idea that, hey, if I have that $100,000 truck, which I really want more than I need, right, it's going to help me get this builder's business. Because he's going to perceive me. And that might be true to a point.
It might be. I don't know.
But where can you pay your dues to get where you want to be? Because I'm going to tell you guys right now, like, we threw money at all these little sponsorships, and they worked a little bit here and there, right? They didn't work out that great. Uh-uh. But because we kind of learned that, and the game plan has always been from the beginning to make sure we have way more cash in the bank than we pay ourselves, right? Way more cash in the bank than we have in our personal bank accounts, is now we're doing six-figure sponsorships. Now we're doing things that, like, with bigger names, and we're adding with that money, we're able to not only just go in there and sponsor for us, we're able to add value to them. We're able to build relationships with them. And I'm telling you right now, like, you want higher influential relationships or people in your life, sponsor their shit. But when their shit's 50K, 120K, whatever it is, just to become part of their ecosystem, we can pay it. Other people can't because of those long-term sacrifices that we make. Or
even if they can, they don't because they get scared.
Yeah.
They get scared. They hold on.
Because that's a truck.
They
go buy a brand new truck with that 120K.
Bro, here's the deal, people. You know, we have individuals that are that joined our mastermind. You know, shout out Donnie. What's good, brother? He had the option to go buy a new truck because he was driving his Ford Exploder that was like a 2000 or whatever, right? 97 or some shit.
Yeah.
It was beat up. It was done. Mm-hmm. You know, it lived a good life and it's needed to be taken around the barn. but he had the option to go buy a new truck or join the Real Business Owners Mastermind. Motherfucker, you know, he ended up buying like a old 2002 like F-150 or something. It was just another cheap car.
Yeah.
And he invested into himself. That right there is the first fucking clue that he will be financially successful 5, 10, 15, like massively mm-hmm. successful. Success leaves clues. And the clue is, if you're not willing to fucking pay the price, you're not going to have the reward. Yeah. And the fucking price is doing all the shit that everybody else isn't willing to do. Look silly in some cases and drive the old fucking beater. I know for a fact, when I was pulling up the stoplights and there's a BMW or a Mercedes next to me and I was making $100,000 a year in a Lancer, I already knew I was fucking probably out earning that individual. They just looked a lot cooler than I did. I was willing to do that.
Yeah. So like, true.
And
I commend the hell out of it too. And we've done that.
Correct. We've done it, dude. I mean,
you've done exactly what Donnie's done.
That's why I know he's going to be successful because he's willing to do that. And I know that 9 out of 10 people aren't.
Yeah.
Like, you're more concerned with what people think of you than really where you're going financially. And that is just financial devastation.
Yeah.
The fact that you worry about what they think, or they got a new house or they got a new car, so I got to keep, like, this is not a keep up game. This is a long game between you and you.
Yeah.
You and your mind. Your mind is going to say, I want, I want, I want. And you go, put the fucking brakes on every single time. That's just the way it works. Now, if you're an employee and you're not an entrepreneur yet, and this doesn't apply to me. Well, bullshit, it don't apply to you. This is a second conversation that I had that Kel was talking about when he came in and dropped a couple nuggets as well. For the second conversation, the first conversation, should I move out? Da, da, da. No, just fucking save as much as you possibly can because you have a small window, because once you move out and the real world smacks you in the face, it continues to do so for the rest of your life. So, funny thing about bills is they never show up late, that you either decide to pay late or pay on time. But the second conversation was, here's the deal. You want to get ahead? 40 hours gets you this straight across, right? Everybody complains that they're living paycheck to paycheck where they can't get by and they work 40 hours a week. Okay. So do something different.
Yeah.
If you have evidence that what you're doing right now isn't getting you where you want to go, then do something fucking different. It's really not that difficult to understand. You say 40 gets me this. I have nothing extra. Where I can, you can sit there and bitch and complain about it, or you can say, that don't work really that well. Okay, so 40 hours gets me this, and that's an average lifestyle. What I need to do is I need to add here. So let's add 20 hours on top of that 40. Now I'm working 60 hours a week. And then let's decrease here.
But Trevor, what about the extra taxes you're going to pay on your pay? Oh my God. Just kidding. We won't go off on that. That was just a dumb comment we had the other day.
Welcome to the club. We pay a lot in taxes too, pal. But we also have a lot more too. That was a funny comment, though.
Go ahead and finish.
So fucking dumb. But the idea is to increase on one side and decrease on the other. So you increase the amount of time that you invest, that's a resource that you have. So you increase that, you sell that resource. Instead of 40, you're selling now 60 hours, whether it's 40 hours full-time somewhere, then 20 hours somewhere else. That's now 60 hours. So 40 gets you this. So can you really increase your productivity by the amount of hours you work and decrease your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm increasing over here where the money comes in and decreasing where the money comes out, and I compound that over 5 or 10 years, you're going to make fucking strides.
Yeah.
You're going to make massive, massive, massive strides. The problem is with instant gratification, nobody's willing to do that. Right. Why? Because I'm working 60 hours a week. I'm exhausted. I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I'm stressed. Cool. So is everybody else that works 60 hours. The difference is when people do that and they say, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm burnt out, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
What they want to do is they want to get a dopamine hit. In order to get a dopamine hit, they want to go spend the money. They go buy something and give something to themselves today so that they feel good about the hours that they're working, the stress that they're bearing. It has to feel like it's worth it. So what do? You give yourself these micro dose hits of dopamine by buying the Jordans or buying this Gucci bag or this belt or the, guess what? I don't fucking think it really looks that cool. That's me neither. That's my.
But I will tell you too, there's a lot of programming going on in society right now that like time is your most valuable asset or commodity. And that's true, right? But there's literally people, young kids, employees still, that are like, oh, I value my time. I'm not willing to work overtime. You know, and the thing that you gotta understand,
value your time isn't worth anything because you're worth nothing.
You're gonna work your whole life for 40, 50 hours a week, or you can step it up to doing 60, 70 hours a week to buy your future time back, right?
That's exactly right.
Like people don't future think enough to actually understand this basic concept. You're literally giving up something today
for a greater tomorrow.
I don't know why they don't see it. I've literally had talks with like kids there, like Caden's age and shit. I'm like, bro, work more. And they're like, well, then I'm giving up time and my, like, I value my time. And what about,
yeah, my girlfriend or my this or my that? There's a give and take. A sacrifice need to be made. What sacrifices are you willing to make for a greater future?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Hanging out with the boys and your girlfriends on the weekend is far more important. It's fucking silly that some of you guys listening still go to the fucking bar or the club every single weekend at 25, 30, 35 years old. You're fucking dumb.
Yeah.
That's idiotic to do.
And
it's,
if you're
not serving you 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's not serving you even the following fucking day.
Yeah.
Cause you wake up feeling like shit and you don't accomplish shit.
Yeah.
What fucking really sacrifice needs to be made? Go to bed at fucking 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night, like your old boy T unit over here and get your ass up at fucking 6 AM on Saturday, like your boy T unit over here every fucking weekend.
It's true, man. This young generation's getting sold on so many things that are bullshit. Eric Clapton, okay, he's one of the most world-renowned guitar players. He says it takes 10,000 hours before you become an expert at whatever it is that you're choosing. He spent 10,000 hours practicing the guitar before he is like this expert, right? And it's like, you got to apply that to your life. Like, what is it that you want to do? Do you want to be a master salesman? Do you want to be a master businessman? Do you want to be a master tax accountant? Do you want to be whatever it is, right? You're going to spend 10,000 hours and you better want to spend those quick, because now Eric Clapton can pick up a guitar. You don't even got to fucking practice no more, bro. He can go play 5 hours and make $500,000, right? He can go get $100,000 a show, hour at a time.
But how much was he getting paid in this 10,000 hours, Kel?
Zero. He might have been picking up gigs and making a little money along the way, but all that practice time was an investment he made into himself.
Well, why would he do that? Why would he?
What? For the freedom he has now.
Oh, wow. What a fucking concept.
Yeah.
So you're telling me he gave up something, in other words, hanging, doing something else, anything. He could have fucking been sleeping. Yeah. He could have been fucking eating. He could have been watching TV. He sacrificed everything else to give time to get a skill that ultimately served him long term.
More people need to figure it out.
More people.
It's weird that we don't have a bunch of other above average fuckers run around this world because it's the simplest concept in the world. But for some reason, the above average, the ultimate people, the badasses, is such a small percentage. And we're filled with a bunch of average in the world. And it's because they can't figure out this one simple concept of sacrificing their time to become an expert at what they are choosing to be an expert at, to then buy their time back and have all the freedom that they want 5, 10, 20 years from now.
The funny thing is you can continue doing what you're doing. Let's say somebody makes $20 an hour and in 10 years they make, you know, $25 an hour or whatever, right? But if I peeled off 20 hours a week on top of that 40 hours and was getting skilled at something else or selling it somewhere else, my time is going to be more valuable in 10 years because I worked one job plus a second because now my net worth is ultimately greater.
Yeah.
Therefore, I am more valuable as a human being, right? Period.
Yeah.
If your net worth is $100,000 and somebody else is worth $5,000, somebody has a greater net worth, meaning their time is now more valuable than the person that's worth $5,000. That's just a fact. Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea is work 10 years and slowly do your increases and this, which is fine, which is completely fine. If that's what you want to do, just don't fucking bitch and complain and moan about your situation.
It's
if
true.
You're not willing to do anything about it.
It's true, man.
That's the biggest problem is there's a lot of complainers and bitchers, but yet they do nothing about it. It's the action that you put behind the thing that you say you want that ultimately means how bad you really want it, right?
All day, every day. And it's not that hard, dude. Like we were talking about it this morning. Mike says, you guys all need to read Will Smith's new book. Okay, so we're talking about Will Smith's new book. I haven't read it yet. I just downloaded it. I'm going to be listening to it because he says, this is one you want to listen to on Audible. So good on Audible. But he says, you know, how he became the most successful actor in Hollywood. Because if you look at his run, 13 years of being the highest selling actor, right? Above everybody else.
He was the Rock before the Rock.
Why? Because what he did, he wanted it bad enough. And he was able to future think. And he says, who's the number one right now that I need to beat out? Tom Cruise. Okay, what's Tom Cruise do? Because everything he does, I'm going to add an hour to it. So if he gets up at 5 a.m., I'm getting up at 4. If he's doing 6 hours of this certain training, I'm doing 7. If he's doing, you know what I mean? If he's hitting the gym for 2 hours, I'm hitting it for 3. And that's like what Nick's sitting right here. If Nick wants to be the best videographer, the best editor, he should go find who's doing the best work. I don't know. Is it D-Rock from Gary Vee? I don't know what it is. You find out what their regimen is and be like, I'm going to outdo that. Right? Because I want to invest those 10,000 hours to become the absolute expert in videography. I want to know everything. I want to be the best. I want to be able to do it better than anybody else. You find the best and you look at what are they doing to be the best? And then you do more and you invest those 10. That is your roadmap to being the best videographer. That's it.
It's the only answer.
And you're going to give a lot of your time to yourself to do it for free. But in just 3 years, you're going to be beating all the average motherfuckers out there.
And getting and paid in 5 years, or three and or in five 10, times.
Yeah. You're going to be better than the dude you set out to be better than. And you're going to be able to call the shots because you are the best in the game. And that's just how it goes.
That's how the cookie got crumbled. This episode is brought to you by Crumble Cookie. Aaron, send a check.
Yeah.
We'll have to send an invoice.
Yeah. We'll take 1% of all royalties of every story. But no, for real, that's exactly right. Unfortunately, it's just there's no other way to slice it and dice it. It's literally just doing more.
What's
the answer?
Man.
If I want greater, do more.
Yeah.
Do more what? You want more what? But you want better health? Do more in the health aspect.
Yeah.
You want more out of your mental health? Focus more on shit that ultimately serves your mental health.
Yeah.
You want more money financially? Do more than the other person, which the other person's working 40 hours a week.
Right.
You got to do more. It's not the fun fucking answer.
Yeah.
It's not the fun answers, but guess what? The fun answers aren't the answer. Hanging out with the homies, that's not the answer to financial freedom. That's the answer to a hangover the following day. I've had them. Plenty of them. Kel, we hung out. You know, Kel know how I used to throw it.
You
down
get your
30s,
you're like, oh, I can't do this anymore, but you still do it.
No, you know what happens? I think about my future self when I stare at the drink. I'm just like, fuck, do I really want to feel like that? I'm making decisions based upon how I want to be financially, how I want to look physically, how I want to feel mentally, because I'm like, okay, let's make deposits into our future self. And most people aren't making any deposits into their future self. So therefore their future self arrives 5 years down the road and they look around. That's the exact same environment.
Yeah.
Because you haven't changed anything. You haven't done anything different in order for the environment around you to ultimately change.
Yeah.
The only thing that changed in my environment was the number in the bank account. That was it. But that was what allowed me to make a jump from mediocre to great in our bank accounts, business-wise. We were a mediocre business, saved just slowly, 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 slowly.
Yeah.
And now we're making the next big push.
Yeah.
But you guys got to understand, you will never be able to make a big push in your life or in business without some form of sacrifice.
Yeah.
It really, the process is a sacrificial process, period. You have to give up something that you could have today for a better tomorrow. Or you reward yourself today because you feel down and out, stressed, this, that, the other. So you get your dopamine hit. And then you continue to do that the rest of your life because you're always down and out, because you're always living paycheck to paycheck. Therefore, you're always buying shit just to get that dopamine hit to try to feel good in that moment. And so it just becomes this vicious repetitive cycle to where you're chasing some form of happiness or dopamine, but you never just stop. Stop doing that stupid shit. Stop spending money you don't have at the bar. Stop spending money on the clothes. Like half the shit that we have is like our own gear. That was $6 shirts with our fucking logo on it or free shit that we got.
Yeah, we got it.
This fucking hat that I'm wearing right now. What does it say? Master Rollers Painting. We appreciate you sending that shit in.
Crosby Tree Service.
I used to spend $30-$35 on a cap, bro. No cap.
I still like to buy shit here and there. But here's the thing, man. Money is a tool. And you're going to hear all these things throughout the years. Like, and if you're in the success space, you hear this shit. You know, like the four core things are faith, family, fitness, finances. I'm telling you guys right now, okay, money is a magnifier. If you're a piece of shit, you're going to turn into a bigger piece of shit. But if you're a good person, a hard worker, you need to flip this shit. You need to be finances, because why? If you got good ass finances, you have money. It's a tool, right? God wants you to be rich. If faith's supposed to top of the list, you can be a lot better faithful man, a man of faith with money. You can serve God more with more money. You can serve your fitness more with money. You can serve your family more with money. And so I'm a big believer, and you need to focus on what Trev's talking about, delaying gratification. Put yourself in a position where you can start using your money as a tool to be better in all those faucets of your life. And I want to say something before we wrap up too, because there's a lot of youngsters I know that follow our show. There's a lot of guys early in the game in entrepreneurship, or they want to be in entrepreneurship. And maybe you're kind of sitting here and you're thinking, well, I don't really know what I want to invest my 10,000 hours on. I don't know what I want to be an expert at. Right now, focus on just being a hard worker.
Yeah.
Okay. When I dropped out of high school and I had this new kid to feed, and I was already moved out of my parents' house, and I already had to, you know, this weird, like, life sucks attitude, because like I'm always getting punched in the face. I never have any money. I'm just this broke dick, right? The only thing I had was hard work. Bro, I was pushing carts at Smith's with a broken arm, but I showed up every day and I outworked people with one arm. I was the best cart pusher at Smith's, and I was a gimp, bro. I had one arm. But you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to move me up. They wanted to make me a manager. And then they wanted to make me the freight boss manager. And then I went and got a job at a warehouse at Walmart Distribution because it paid more. And they wanted to move me up after so many months. You build confidence through hard work. The universe will take care of you. It will start putting you in the path of what you want to become an expert at, that you can invest your 10,000 hours. But if you don't know where that is right now, just be a hard-ass worker. I don't care if you're on a construction site. I don't care if you're the whatever, the dude that cleans porta-potties after events. Like, well, be the best.
Well, it's an investment into yourself because you're creating a habit. If you're the best cart pusher, then the next job you do, you created a level of discipline and a work ethic that will serve you at your next job.
Yeah.
Then your next job and your next job. And I try to tell people this, even in our meetings. I'm like, look, I'm not telling you to work hard just so that the company gets rich and we make a bunch of money. I'm saying do it for you.
Yeah.
Make an investment into you by working hard so that in 5, 10, 20 years, if you don't work for us, you have the discipline of hard work in your favor, and it will serve you for the rest of your life. Now, the only reason why sales was amazing is because you could be a Joe Schmo idiot off of the street. The only thing that you had to do to be great was outwork other motherfuckers.
That's right.
That was it.
And so, talent came.
You could create talent in sales if you want it bad enough through
hard work.
Hard work.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, I saw sales and I'm like, okay, well, I'm a fucking idiot. I ain't going to school. Like, I'm not going to ever become anything because of my brain, so to speak. Like, because I'm a brainiac or I have some crazy fucking skill. And I said, so you're telling me I can go into sales and literally make more money than more people because if I'm willing to work harder, I can make more?
Yeah.
I'm like, I got fucking discipline. I have hard, like, I can do those things.
I've got a voice.
And I
can talk.
Oh, and sing, apparently, right? Fucking watch out for Ursula, dude. She'll come and get me, dude. Give that voice box. What movie is that? Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Anyways, off fucking topic. This is what happens with me sometimes. It's like squirrel, right? Boom, off topic. But for real, once I found sales and I knew the only caveat to it was hard work and being disciplined enough to put the work in, I was like, that's it.
Right.
That's going to be my way out. I don't think
people understand the call centers we came up in. If you weren't working hard, someone would snatch your leads off your desk and work them for you. Mm. And dude, they weren't in a computer CRM assigned and it was printed out, bro. Paper. So it was like, that dude only has like 4 tallies on that lead he's had all week. I think I'm going to swoop that and call it like 50 times more than him.
That's hard work, man. No, I'm just kidding. That's fucking shiesty. That's shit.
Dude, that's how it was, though, bro. That's how we came up. I had my lead swoop, bro.
That's how it works. That's how
we worked that shit hard when we got new fresh leads, dude, because we knew someone else would if we didn't. Here's the thing, though, bro. This episode, Process of Success, was like weird. It was like we started and reversed it, right? Like, we're talking about hanging out with the baddest mofos in the beginning, right? Higher level people, which is a huge part of the process of success. But we ended on, if you don't know what the hell you want to invest all your time in, you just be a hard ass worker. So this is kind of a weird episode where it's like, you know, if you listen to this, right? Like, reverse it.
Yeah.
Start with what we ended on. Hard ass work. Okay. Save your damn money. Delay gratification. Test shit. Fail at shit, but have the money in the bank to keep doing it till you find what works.
Then invest into
higher power networks. Correct. Get high achievers, the ballers, the well-named people in your ecosystem, become their friends. And dude, that is the process of success. You can have everything you want by doing that.
But it's going to take time. And the fact is your instant gratification bullshit ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
If you want it that bad,
sign up for the marathon.
Then guess what? Hunker the fuck down and prepare to put yourself through fucking storms that you don't really necessarily have to go through. You choose to go through it. So the sunny days are that much more sunny.
It's true.
It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. Nick, was it fucking good or was it great?
It was good.
It was great.
Nick's going to invest 10,000 hours into his videographer now, dude.
Yeah, he's motivated. Yeah. We're going to drive by the office. There's going to be a light on late at night, dude. We're going to be seeing Nick going ham, going
smart all. Smart man if you do.
Hey, bro. Whether you know it or not, bro, we'll see.
You got
it.
A key fob, bro? We'll see. I'll get you a key fob if you want to do that.
We'll get you in late, dog.
You'd be front of the line at the late game, dude.
Golly. Nick's taking all the fucking clout on this one, bro. He's been highlighted twice. Anyways, guys, we hope you enjoy some of our rambling and the lessons sprinkled throughout. But, you know, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We appreciate you guys listening, supporting us, you know, from, you know, the amount of people that reach out that want our accounting services, our credit repair services, to the amount of applications we receive with the mastermind. You know, there's some other stuff up our sleeves that we're currently working on as well in terms of more of like a couple $100 a month type thing, because we really do want to connect with as many people as possible.
I think we both building the higher level mastermind is badass, because I know we're going to be able to do some help there. But dude, I think Trev and I are both very passionate about helping that starter entrepreneur.
I know.
Because we know what it's like, man. We didn't have the guidance. It took us a long time to figure it out. And if we can shortcut that for people, like, dude, we're passionate about that stuff. Like, it wasn't that long ago we were the dudes banging our head against the wall on what do we do to go to the next level. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we were the thug kids of the neighborhood that everybody thought we weren't going to amount to shit.
Yep.
You know, and those are the people we like to help.
That's why we're T-Unit and Kilo G style,
right,
dog.
That's right.
That's what the neighborhood knows us by.
We grew up in the roughest parts of Utah.
Now, entrepreneurship, you know us as real business owners. The hood, they know us as something a little different. But anywho, we hope you guys really do enjoy some of the shit that we drop on here. We really try to make sure that we're giving you guys information that we think will serve you, because it's just information that is true, factual, that's we know has served us.
Yeah.
We are where we are because of it. So other than that, I want to say thank you to a few people that have been, the reviews have continued to trickle in, even though we haven't applied the pressure like we did back in the day, but, continue that.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Yeah, and it is humbling. Like we did, it helps us. It keeps us doing what we want to do, and it's serving other people.
No doubt. Other than that, everybody have a good day. Kick ass. And, we'll chat your ear off next week.